listener writes in, can Steph Curry flip red states? That's kind of where we're at this point, I think. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Wes Goldberg, Warriors writer for Mercury News, and I'm here with Charles T. Hamilton. We'll get to some listener questions in today's Twitter poll later on, but I wanted to start with Steph's Q&A with Dr. Anthony Fauci, who, of course, is the country's leading expert on the coronavirus response. He is that guy that is always up there with Donald Trump during these White House press briefings. He is the guy that always sounds really informed. In case you don't know who I'm talking about, he's the smart one, right? And Steph had him on his Instagram Live channel for a 30-minute Q&A. It was watched by almost 50,000 people. What do you think of this idea in general?
I love it. I think it's smart. You know, there was I'll just say it. Pardon My Take had him on, and I think it's really smart for these, you know, the podcast Part of My Take. A guy like Steph Curry, who has a following and a demographic that probably isn't really paying close attention to the specifics of the pandemic that's going on, and you know how serious it is, and the idea that young people can't get it or won't get sick, or just, you know, all some of the misinformation that's out there. I think it's great for Steph to do that, to use his platform and understand his demo that he has to, you know, try and inform. And I thought it was great. I think there's only a couple of people in the world who could do what he did today and reach the people that he did, you know, LeBron, Steph. And that's about it. You know, you can maybe throw KD in there, but he doesn't really. Yeah, I mean, honestly, but you know, KD doesn't really do the social media much, or at least in the way that Steph does. And so, I mean, those are really right. The two main ones. And so I'm praising him for it. I thought it was great.
I think you hit on a key thing there. I mean, like I've been doing nothing but reading this stuff over like I spend an hour every morning. I wake up and I basically just consume coronavirus news, mostly because I want to be informed and know what's happening, but also it's addicting. It is the biggest story that we will probably ever live through and kind of experience. So, but a lot of people aren't doing that. And Steph said during the Q&A session, one of the reasons why he wanted to do this was because he would see photos of people on beaches or in parks and not adhering to social distancing rules and guidelines and these things. And a lot of people have been blaming, you know, Gen Z and millennials for you know, partly for just not listening to this stuff. And maybe it's because they're not waking up every morning and reading the Washington Post and the New York Times for an hour, right? Maybe they're they're just like, you know what, screw it. Like the bars are closed, but I'm going to go out and do whatever I want anyway. And I think Steph did reach those people because a lot of people now get their news on social media. Like they don't. We have cord cutters who don't even have access to local news channels anymore. A lot of people get it from social media. And Steph, like you said, with his following, is able to have this reach that a guy like Dr. Fauci cannot do on his own, right? You can watch the White House press briefing on CNN, but you may not have CNN if you're Gen Z and you don't believe in paying for a cable subscription. So this is sort of – this might be the first time you've ever even – if you're young enough, and I implore our listeners, if you are one of these people, if you fall into this category, if maybe that's the first time you ever heard Fauci speak, as much as he's been on the news, that might be the first time you've heard him speak.
Yeah, definitely. No, just talking about the demographic and the way they reach people, you know, where he's been is, like you said, in press briefings with Trump. And, you know, I stay informed, but I also try and stay away from it during this time. So I understand what's going on and all those things, but I also don't watch CNN every night. And that's where you would usually see him, or Fox News or MSNBC, whatever, you know, news channel you watch. So for Steph to take the initiative and for Dr. Fauci to understand that it's, you know, important for him to understand that, you know, he could get to a demographic that he wouldn't be able to on the nightly news. You know, I just thought it was huge for both parts. And it's just, it's weird when we praise Steph so much, but this is one of those things where it's well deserved because it was an incredibly smart, executed, and just it was great in my opinion. And I can't say enough good things about what he did today and getting Fauci on. I mean, that's also huge. Like, I don't know how he went about it or anything. I'm sure there's connections somewhere there, but it just I was incredibly impressed by the entire, you know, presentation and the info and all of it.
I believe, and I'm not 100% sure about this. I believe it was Fauci's people who kind of were perusing possible options, and they had reached out, and Steph agreed to do it. But it would have been really easy for Steph to just, because he started taking listener questions. It would have been really easy for Steph to get on there on his Instagram channel and just read listener questions. But you could tell that he did his homework. He's done his research. And by the way, this isn't the only thing he's done. His Eat, Play, Live Foundation, I think I got that right, has been helping donating food to school children who otherwise, you know, only eat lunch at school, who are obviously not at school anymore. And you know, he's been involved. He was involved in that $1 million donation to Warriors Out of Work arena workers. And so he's been involved on this. He's been engaged on social media. And I'm like you, like, you never want to puff piece this stuff. And I had a hard time with that a little bit when I was writing I had to write a story for the Mercury News on all of this. I'm like, I don't want this to come across as a puff piece, but in this instance, he should be praised. And it's like, you can't do anything other than you don't want to go full blown puff piece, but like, this was unprecedented to have a leader in the sports world and a leader in the medical world come together for 30 minutes and have a frank and honest and informative conversation that Steph was a valuable part of. He wasn't just a conduit for Fauci's words to go through, right? Fauci wasn't just simply using his platform. He was using, like, Steph Curry was also informed, and just, he did a good job in participating in that conversation. And I thought it was maybe one of the best things I've seen in regards to presenting information in a new way and in an informative way and in an accurate way, as far as I'm concerned, that I've seen throughout this entire process. Certainly better than these White House briefings that have been all over the place. And I think that's part of the reason why Fauci is doing these things, why he's out in front of this stuff, is because he needs as much time as possible to relay accurate information during these times.
No question. And by the way, any of our listeners who are, not to say it's just young people who are doing it, I'm with Steph 100% when I see, you know, all these people out at the beach or you know, a crowded bike path where I'm living or whatever, like, stay at home. Maybe get some exercise walking around your neighborhood or something. But man, I'm so with Steph. We have to take this incredibly seriously and shelter in place. I mean, I know that's the popular term right now, but just stay home, please.
I think that's a good place to end this segment. We will get to your listener questions next. This is Locked On Warriors. All right, Charles, we're going to switch it up a little bit from our shelter in place and coronavirus talk. Let's just get right into the draft. I know you love the draft. We've got some listener questions about the draft, so let's just get right to it. Why is Denny the best prospect in the draft? I don't know if you believe this, but make an argument why he would be.
He's the best wing out there. And again, he's, you know, he's a plays overseas, so I don't have as much access. Well, especially now, you know, since no one's playing right now. But as much access to him as, you know, the guys that just played at Villanova, or, you know, regular college basketball. But he's 6'9", he's 215, he can handle smooth jumper. The percentages aren't great on a very large sample size. He's about 32% from three, I think. But he's had some games, some of his more recent games, where he would go, you know, 4 of 6 from three, 3 of 5, and the jumper, it doesn't look broken or anything. So there's reason to believe that the jumper is there, and at his size, solid defender, good instincts, all that stuff. And the reason why he is the best prospect in the draft, as the question says, is because of today's NBA, because, you know, everyone's looking for a wing, and he is the top wing, true wing out there. There are guys, you know, that are about, what, 6'4", 6'5", maybe. But in my opinion, when you're looking for wings, it's about 6'6 to 6'9 with, you know, close to a 7-foot wingspan is like the ideal wing in today's NBA. That's a question I want to ask you. But, you know, once you get to Denny, one of the things I wonder when I hear people talk about wings is like, what makes a wing? Where does it start and where does it stop? Like, do people think Austin Rivers is a wing? Because he's not. He's a solid player and can do some of the things a wing can do. But to me, there's a size aspect to it, a positional aspect that I think some people kind of gloss over.
I think that if, to use Brad Stevens' sort of categorizations, I mean, if you're not a point guard and you're not a big, then you're a wing these days. I mean, just the way that it's the way, like, if you're either a ball handler or you're a wing, if you're a perimeter player.
Yeah.
And, you know, Austin Rivers, you could argue, is a ball handler, but I don't know. I just, the thing with wings, like, small forwards don't even really exist anymore. Right. You know, like, even a guy like Kevin Durant, like, he played so much for the Warriors. Yeah. He started as a small forward, but, like, there's very few, like, actual just small forwards. You could argue, like, even Paul George might be the closest, and he plays shooting guard so much now. Right. And so they just, like, that's the position. Like, if you can handle the ball enough, you're a shooting guard. If you could, if you are tall enough, if you're 6'9" or more, they kind of move you down to power forward. So with Denny, I like him because he's 6'9". He's 19 years old, by the way. So he could still grow to 6'10", maybe 6'11". That's not out of the realm of possibility. And I just love his upside. I really do. And you're right. Like, he is one of the, if you're the Warriors and you need a wing, which you do, and you need size and athleticism at that spot, which they absolutely do. I know Andrew Wiggins was a nice addition, but that's only the start, not the entire solution. Going and getting a guy like Denny, who is ridiculously athletic. He can pass with both hands. He can finish with both hands. And obviously, like you said, has the size that you are looking for at that spot. You could slide him over to power forward and move Draymond to the center spot. And mm-hmm. we've heard Steve Kerr recently say on radio that he does imagine Draymond Green next year playing more five.
Yeah.
And so if that's the case, then you're not looking at drafting James Wiseman. You're not looking at signing a center to big money. You're looking at a guy who would allow Draymond to play more five. And yeah, they've got Eric Paschal there, but that's, again, just one person. You need more of those guys. I think Denny could be one of those guys.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's the guy who I have my eye on at the top of the draft.
Yeah.
The more I watch of him, the more
I like him.
For sure. My favorite, just because he's plug and play, and I've mentioned him before on here, is Sadiq Bey out of Villanova. Mm-hmm. But again, he does not have the upside that Denny Avdija has, especially he's a couple years older than him also.
The next question is, who could the Warriors get with the trade exception and the mid-level? Wings, centers, a star? I'm going to reframe this question. Who should they look for with, let's start with the mid-level exception. Then if we have time, we can do the trade exception. But the mid-level exception, depending on where the salary cap ends up, it will depend on how much money it's actually worth, but it's always going to be worth a percentage of the salary cap. So it's going to be a useful tool no matter what. Do you think that they should go after a certain position with that mid-level exception?
I mean, wing always is, it's kind of what we just mentioned. Wings are so important in today's NBA, especially the way the Warriors want to play, especially with Draymond looking at playing more five. You're looking for someone to try and complete that death lineup, so to speak, or whatever you want to call it, of, you know, Steph, Clay, Wiggins, blank, and then Draymond. And so for the mid-level, you know, I've got a list of some potential potential free agents. They are going to be free agents, not potential. Mo Harkless is one of them. I don't know if you'd have to give him the mid-level to get him, but he's another guy that he's solid enough. Not going to tip the scales or anything, but you could do some things with him. And then really, as far as wings go, there's not a lot out there. There's, you know, like CJ Miles and Jay Crowder and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Here's a name that I don't think you'd be able to get, but who knows? I mean, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't be able to get him with a mid-level. Paul Millsap, you know, he's going to be a free agent, but I'm pretty sure he'll get some money, especially considering the lack of big-name free agents this offseason. And then the guards, not a lot you'd want to spend money on as far as guards are concerned. If you can get Joe Harris for the mid-level, definitely do it. But again, he's a guy that's going to get paid. So, you know, I the main one is Mo Harkless for me.
Yeah, I like Mo Harkless. I like Jay Crowder. It sounds like he wants to stay in Miami, but I think if you look at that center spot with the mid-level exception, I think that would make a lot of sense for them, especially if you can get you reach out to Paul Millsap and just say, hey man, would you be one? Like, he'd be a great fit. A guy like Marc Gasol would be an awesome fit, but it would require like guys like Millsap and Gasol, them taking less money in order to play for the Warriors, right? Which is not out of the question. We see this happen every year. It's not like not to the Warriors, but across the league to contending teams. Teams are players will take less money to join those teams. That if Marc Gasol got a taste for a championship in Toronto that he just can't get out of his mouth, maybe he would try to join the Warriors in that whole situation. But as far as the mid-level, I like them using it on a center because I'd rather use that trade exception on a wing, because I think there's some real value that could be found there, whether it's a guy like Terrence Ross, if you're just looking for a scorer. I don't love that. Evan Fournier has been floated out there. I don't love that fit either. But, you know, a guy like Rudy Gay, if you can go get him, that could make sense because, like you said, I mean, if you're talking about Steph, Clay, Wiggins, blank, and Draymond Green, Rudy Gay is a very good blank, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he can play that power four spot really well. He could stretch the floor from the corners. He could do this. He could do stuff with the ball in his hands. I mean, he would be very Harrison Barnes-ish in that spot.
Yeah. There are two names that I have that, you know, you might even be able to get a pick with them also. These teams are probably looking to get rid of them to shed some salary. And, you know, if the Warriors are willing to pay that luxury tax on them, you know, these are still players who could contribute. Tony Snell is one of them. I know he's limited, but the guy's a 40% three-point shooter. His entire career would be a nice piece off the bench for the Warriors. And then as far as them looking for a stretch big, I don't think it's going to be Dragan Bender. You know, people have floated out there, Amari Spellman potentially getting cut. If that happens, great. Would love to have him back. But he is under contract with the T-Wolves. So the other one was Kelly Olynyk in Miami. So you might be able to pick up some assets while also, you know, getting a player who could contribute. But, you know, bigger names would be a lot more fun. I'll say that.
Another Miami center who could be available, I think, because Kelly Olynyk, you'd have to trade for him. I think he's got one more year left after this, but or maybe a player option that I'll probably take. Myers Leonard's going to be a free agent, and he is a stretch five.
Yeah, and he's the way he praised Draymond in the Warriors after, what was it, Western Conference Finals, you know, 2 years ago. He's a guy who might be interested, and you probably could get him for the minimum, which, you know, would be
The mid-level nice, elite at the very least, at the most, I would say, the mid-level.
Yeah, definitely.
Or part of the mid-level. All right,
he's a knockdown shooter. He's a legit shooter, too.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, he's great. And defensively, he's been better in Miami than he was in Portland.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm biased. The Twitter polls are next. You're listening to Locked On Warriors. All right, Charles, let's wrap up today's show with checking the Twitter polls. The first one is, does Dr. Anthony Fauci really use that basketball hoop? Now, he had that basketball hoop in the background of his Q&A with Steph Curry. Seems to me to be a prop. One of my favorite hobbies these days is watching all the reporters, because they're not in studio anymore, like on ESPN or whatever, reporting live from their home office and what sort of pretentious things they put in the background for the cameras to find. Dr. Fauci aptly put a basketball hoop behind him. Do you think he really uses it? You guys said yes. 78.8% of you said that yes, he does use it. 21% of you said no. What do you think? Do you think Anthony Fauci is dunking?
Fauci gets buckets, no question. I'm glad you brought up the home setups because it's the same. I've been judging everyone's, and I wanted to put this out on Twitter, but I'll ask you here. What would your home setup be if you're getting, you know, had to get ready, had to do some sort of, you know, quick hitter or something? What would your home setup be? What would you be in front of?
So I live in a studio apartment in San Francisco, so I don't have a lot of options. It's kind of a window or a single wall that would be open, and my bed is in front of the window, so that's not a great look because I don't want people to think I'm doing it from my bedroom. So I will go right in front of my hanging bookshelf, which currently has several books, but with the binding facing to the wall, so you can't read what books they are. So I'd probably have to switch those around. You know, I'd have like David Havlstam's Breaks of the Game out there. I'd have some anything Malcolm Gladwell, which I've read. I have all of his books. I just like line those all up and be like, oh wow, he's smart. and then I've got a couple of records up there. Like I've got some old Green Day albums. I've got some Kendrick Lamar albums, like framed. And, I'd probably put those up there too. And then I've got a print of the front page of the Miami Herald, when the Heat won their second championship. I'd probably put that, depending on what it was, I may put that up there. If I needed to look a little bit more objective, I'd take that down depending on what the situation was.
I hear you.
The real question is, if you have a guitar, do you put that in the background?
No, I think, like, unless you really are, can shred, as some might say. If not, you do not. You leave that out because, I would just say leave that out. The thing is, with me, I don't have a bookshelf.
I saw a CNN reporter with an acoustic guitar.
Oh, no.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
Oh, no. Yeah, no bookshelves for me. So I mean,
so what's yours?
It might be, you know, my shelf with all my shoes on it. But it's all they're all in their boxes, though. You know, I'm a guy that keeps my shoes in their boxes, so it would just be a bunch of shoe boxes. Or, you know, you talked about your framed stuff, like, I don't know, in front of my framed Mac Dre and Keek the Sneak posters, I guess.
There you go.
You know, that's the thing. That's why it would probably have to be in front of the shoes, because there really is nothing else unless it's just a white wall or something.
Our next Twitter poll, is it still okay to be wearing those sweatpants that you are wearing now, or should you wash them? 55.6% of you said, I'm wearing them. 44% of you said, I should probably wash these. How are your sweatpants doing, Charles?
They're good. I got, you know, I've got a heavy rotation of track suits and sweatpants. So it's, I'll say this, wash them, but, you know, put on the nice ones every once in a while. You know, it's a, like you're going to work, put on your nice sweatpants. But yeah, if you're down to one pair, you definitely got to wash them, because, you know, let's be a little civilized here. We can still, you know, be, what is it? Hobo chic or something like that, I guess.
Hobo. I need to wash mine. I'm very quickly losing the chic part of my hobo look. Next, our final Twitter poll. Have you yet done a virtual happy hour? 32% of you said yes. 68% of you said no. 68% of you are really missing out, is what I'm going to say. Sure.
Yeah, I've done one. Done multiple, actually.
Yeah, same. It's how I pass the time these days.
Yeah, it's how that we stay sane.
That's how we do it. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Warriors. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, and iTunes about us. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Thanks for listening.